I am come for thy words. Daniel chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. That's fasting. It's something that I know very few folks that have any knowledge of today. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face was as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms, his feet, like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned to me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then I was... Now you need to see, somebody may be out there. I was in deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand, that's what I want you to see, that he set his heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. That's an astounding verse. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall the people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips, and then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. And then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou whereof I come unto thee? And how will I return to fight with the prince of Persia? And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. I will shew thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. A most incredible chapter. Supernatural. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And it reminds me of how shallow we are today in our belief of this God. When I read of things like Daniel And we read it like it's a story of old. I don't like to use this word, but like what folks call a fairy tale. Just so we read of the great flood. We read of the wonders of him bringing the children out of Egypt. And we read of all these things, and it becomes like a story. It's not a story. It's an actual event that actually happened to a man just like you and I, you see. So I say how shallow we are in our belief of God. It seems that we've relegated natural explanation to all our religion. And when you do that, you take God out of it. I call it the MacArthur syndrome. If you know anything about John MacArthur and Paul Washer, and that's the way they look at the atoning blood of Christ on Calvary's cross. So it becomes, you might say, the way they preach it becomes of non-effect. The blood's no longer supernatural. The actual act is, the crucifixion is no longer supernatural. The rebirth, it's not supernatural. They get saved in their sin. They don't get saved from their sin, you see. Being caught to the third heaven. God is what you and I don't see. That's supernatural, what we don't see. And few can accept that. I've known very few that really can accept that. I started a word this morning. Lord, give me most. They have a God in their mind, and I've told you this so many times. And this God in their mind is just right for them, but he's not this God. You see, you say, who are you going to believe, me or your eyes? Daniel chapter 11 verse 32. He said, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. You get that? The people that know their God, this God, they'll be strong and they'll do exploits. That's action. Do you have exploits in the Lord? A doing of events. Many Christians have fought many, many wars. Why did God's people lay down and stop fighting? Did not Peter and the other apostles state, we ought to obey, when they said, you can't preach this, they said, we ought to obey God rather than men over in the book of Acts. Paul said in Ephesians 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power, and in the power of his might. That's action. That's exploit, you see. So make no mistake, we do wrestle. It's just I think too often we wrestle against the wrong things. You must remember that our battle is supernatural. Also in Daniel 11, it states of a latter-day wicked king that honors, in verse 38, Daniel 11:30, that honors the God of forces. Thus we're instructed to wrestle. Else we wouldn't need the armor that Paul spoke of in Ephesians 6. But I've met very, very few in my walk who have any need of this armor. There's no spiritual battle going on in their lives at all. There are natural battles, but not spiritual battles. Have we abandoned the Christian warfare that you and I are to wage? Did you see this? He said, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, did you read about this guy? Like brass and flames. And he said, the king of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael the archangel came and helped me fight. You see, in Hosea 8:4, we're told explicitly that God, he didn't set up all kings. That's another lie that men use from the pulpit. We're not to obey all kings. Not all kings were set up by God, you see. And oftentimes as Calvinists, we sometimes shirk our duty in the guise of sovereignty. Oh, well, God did that, so and so we become spiritually lazy, you see. Read the book. God uses men for his purposes. He didn't pick them up and place them in the promised land. They put one foot in front of the other, and they had to take their swords out of their scabbards. And they had to use those swords, and they had to shed blood. God uses men for his purpose and his will. He calls no one to no purpose. Do you hear me? He calls no one to no purpose. Calling and election, sure. In the 104th Psalm, it's a psalm of life for me. It's a psalm of life and explanation. Let me turn over there because I want to use some of the verses. Practical things of our existence serving God on this earth, the 104th Psalm. It tells us in verse 15 that it's... all the Baptists will fall out of the boat here. In verse 15, that it's God that created wine to make our heart glad, not Welch's grape juice. I've drank a lot of Welch's grape juice and never had a glad heart. Okay? It's God that created wine to make our heart glad and oil to make our face shine and bread to strengthen our hearts. Maybe I should eat more bread, you see. So how shall we perceive the supernatural when we can't even fathom the natural that God uses, you see? In the end of the psalm, look at the very end of the 104th Psalm. Start verse 33. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation to him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth. Well, I don't know what they're going to do with all those people and all those churches I went to all those years and said, oh, I'm just a sinner. Because David said, let them be consumed out of the earth and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. Can you not see how far we often venture from the truth? Is it any wonder that we receive not the supernatural? We hardly receive the natural. How are we going to receive the supernatural? We're to buy a natural sword to fight a supernatural war. The thought came to me, mine is not to question why, mine is but to do or die. I've quoted that before in the pulpit. Alfred Lord Tennyson. Charge of the Light Brigade. It's not for me to question why. Well, what could be more true than in the Lord? But what? To do or die? Ran into a fellow yesterday at the store. I haven't seen him in years. Such a blessing. I've known him for over 35 years. And he's preaching sometimes out here at the little Spanish language church at Mineral. David. And he introduced me to his wife, and it was such a blessing that he's still serving after all these years, you see. And we hugged each other's neck. But I don't find that very often. Oh, that we had that much sense in the Lord. And when I saw David yesterday, he said, you know, Paul said that to die is gain and to live is Christ. I've not had another man quote that to me. I've quoted it many times, you see. That we had that much sense in God, not to question why, but to do or die. And that's exactly why so few receive from God. Faith itself, evidence of things not seen. How few have that? I believe our ease in Zion has made us commonplace in the Lord and in this world. Much too hospitable for us, you might say. Amos 6:1, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Are we not, as Hebrews exclaims, are we not compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses? In Acts 4, verse 20, Peter and John expound, for we cannot but speak the things we've seen and heard. Do you have nothing to say? These weren't greatly educated men. We cannot but expound the things we have seen and heard. Amos 3:8, he said, the Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Who can but prophesy? How can you not prophesy? Even the women prophesy. The men, the women, the things you've seen, the things you've heard. There's supernatural things that have happened in your lives that you don't even see as supernatural, and sometimes you're almost embarrassed. Like your courtship. You shouldn't be embarrassed. It's a supernatural thing. Nobody does that anymore. It was a glorious thing. Because the Lord was in it. Simple things. We're quick to relate natural facts and occurrences all the time, you see. Facebook, people have Facebook, Twitter. But what about the supernatural things that you've experienced in God? And I'd say if you haven't, well, then you don't know God, or God doesn't know you. What are the things of the Lord? We have nothing to report. You claim to be born again in Christ, and you have nothing to report. How's that any different than those that worship idols? Cloud of witnesses, angels, demons. This fella here in Daniel chapter 10. The Holy Ghost. I will not leave you comfortless, Lord said. I'll come to you and shall show it. I'll show it unto you. That's what he said. And yet, nothing to say, nothing to add. Calls you by name, leads you in and out. Nothing to say, nothing to add. All these books I spoke of last week, how were they written? You ever read John Bunyan? I'm telling you, it's as prolific as Daniel chapter 10. You've no idea of such. Of such a walk, of such a journey. You go to the New Testament, you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And he says in verse 13, which things also we speak. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Where, I'd ask, is such spiritual talk? It was such talk. Now listen, because I'm speaking personally. It was such talk that brought Jeff. Jeff's listening right now. I don't know what year it was, but I know it's been 15 years more. Now going 15 or 20 years, Jeff. He still lives in California. And he still listens on this little piece of plastic. you see. Those many years ago, it was such talk, just words, a word that God gave me. And it brought those words, just those words. It wasn't me. It was the words God gave me. It was Scripture. It was in the book of Ezekiel. And it took him out of religion. As surely as Jonah was vomited on the beach, he was vomited out of that church. And he saw light. Because a man, how shall they hear? And the girl walks into an old building. Nobody said anything. And she looks at a whiteboard and sees the scripture and breaks like dropping a crystal glass on the floor. And it was finished. Never been the same again. Broken. She saw the word. You all know of my profound experiences in the Lord. But you've nothing to say, nothing to report. He said, I'm come for your words, Daniel. I'm come for your words. Chosen by God, nothing to say. Before the foundation of the earth, nothing to say. Born again of the Spirit of God, nothing to say. That's why the preachers can't. They haven't lived anything. The people that have nothing to say can only rely on scholarship. Because they've never been here. I don't read this book. I've been here. I was there. I don't need psychology. I don't need natural means, antidotes. They rely on money and gain, and who doesn't want that? Just listen to them, the natural that they use. But I can tell you what, you listen to a man that's met God and you'll know it. I put, now hear me. You've the richest pastor in the whole world, this little church. You do. I tell men that all the time. I'm the richest man in the whole world. Rich beyond belief. Far richer than Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos or Oprah. They're still building and still seeking. But with me, it's finished. What more? Food and raiment be content. No need to tell you how often, Melissa can tell you how often I've purchased bread without money. Life and death struggles beyond measure. Truly. I've been drowned. I've been cut asunder for over 10 hours. Had men cutting on my body for over 10 hours. I fought demons and death and hell for a day and a night. See, I don't believe. I don't care if you believe it or not. I've been chastened to the point of death itself by the Lord God Almighty. I've been maimed and crippled and unable to walk. And anybody that knows me well at all knows it, but for the grace of God, I'd be dead and gone in the ground. I'm a walking miracle. I am. Nothing on me. It's not to my case. It's the supernaturalness of God. But that, not of myself, that I should boast. But for God, Mo would have been a widow at 36 years old. On June the 3rd, 1985, God sent her a new creature to love and care for her. That was a miracle. What might have been? What might have been with me? What might have been with you? How shall they hear without a preacher? I can tell you, you've not just heard smile, Jesus loves you here. You've heard words that have cost some of you dearly. Cost you everything. Everything. Words. What are you doing? I've come for thy word. I heard you. Didn't you call me? Yeah, well, I did. Yeah. Words. We've had in this ministry, they've threatened our very lives. Oh, they did. Yeah, they did. Have we forgotten? The messenger told Daniel, "Knowest wherefore I'm come unto thee? You know why I'm come for thy words." Have you not called upon him? Maybe he's not come because you got no words. I am come for thy words.